Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 upfront payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes. See details.
It took a lifetime to find the person you want to marry. Finding the perfect engagement ring is a lot easier. At BlueNile.com, you can find or design the ring you've always dreamed of with help from Blue Nile's jewelry experts who are on hand 24/7 to answer questions and the ease and convenience of shopping online. For a limited time, get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more with code LISTEN at BlueNile.com. That's $50 off with code LISTEN at BlueNile.com.
1-800-Flowers.com knows that a gift is never just a gift. A gift is an expression of everything you feel and helps build more meaningful relationships. 1-800-Flowers takes the pressure off by helping you navigate life's important moments by making it simple to find the perfect gift. From flowers and cookies to cake and chocolate, 1-800-Flowers helps guide you in finding the right gift to say how you feel. To learn more, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Paranormality. I'm Pirate.
I'm Josh.
And we are Paranormality. No, we're not.
Paranormality.
UK.
What we got today, mate?
Okay, so today, I thought we'd cover just religion in general. Is religion actually a paranormal thing?
Interesting. Okay.
Because so many religions across the world have so many similar stories. They're all sort of, you know, believe in some kind of benign deity.
I've not heard that word before.
Have you not?
No, okay. What does that mean?
Like a god, you know? A deity is sort of another word for god. Most religions believe that a god is not seen, but believed in. It's down to faith.
Okay. So it's not actually in a body, it's just there, in spirit.
Yeah, is it? I mean, is it actually a man with a beard sat on a throne in a celestial place?
Wow, we're getting deep already.
We're getting so deep. I mean, and like miracles.
Oh, miracles!
Miracles have got to be paranormal, don't they? How does a guy feed 5,000 people with 3 loaves of bread and a couple of fish?
Yeah. See, I've got my own theory on miracles.
Okay.
Should we go straight into
it? Go straight into miracles, mate.
So,
go for it.
Miracles. What actually got me thinking about miracles was Pulp Fiction, where I always forget his name. Julius, Samuel L. Jackson's character.
Jules.
Where he fires that gun and it misses the guy.
They get shot at, don't they?
Yeah.
Well, it must be at least 6 rounds out of that massive gun.
Yep, misses him every time. Yeah. And I'm sure they reference a miracle for that part. And that got me thinking. And I think miracles are just extreme cases of coincidence.
Okay.
Does that make sense? So it's just, what are the chances of that? It's probably 1 in a billion. And then because it doesn't happen, you know, ever or at all or very slim, it's considered a miracle. Because it's like, oh, what are the chances of that? It's actually one in 1.4 billion chance. So it's kind of like a, oh, wow, that never happens.
Well, what about Jesus feeding the 5,000, though, with just 3 loaves of bread and a couple of fish? Did he like give the first 10 people a meal and everybody else was like, actually, not hungry anymore?
I mean, if we want to get into that, I've got to be careful because I don't want to insult or anything the people that believe in Jesus and God. I'm going to be very respectful.
Oh yeah, yeah. Obviously. So right. I come from a religious background. My father is a minister of a local church. He's not like a full blown reverend, but he does go around giving like sermons every Sunday. And I was brought up with quite a religious background. So you know, I'm going to treat myself as, particularly against like Christianity, if we're going to say anything offensive, then I'm probably the one that's going to get offended by it. So if I'm not offended, we're all good.
Okay. Well, I believe the same as Noah's Ark and Jesus feeding the 5,000 and the stories of Jesus in general, I think they're just stories from back in the day that have just, as time's gone on, people believe it, but to me, it doesn't seem realistic. So it could have been one of those things where he actually only fed 15 people. But it's just snowballed over the years.
It's become
this epic story of religion and belief. And there's not actually that much into it.
Yeah.
Like the Noah's Ark thing, we know from science, in fact, there's billions, millions of different species. And
oh, yeah. How could he have actually fitted two of every species onto
it's just
the ark?
Not plausible.
It's not. Well, fish wouldn't need to be on there. It's only
yeah, they'd be all right, wouldn't they?
Land animals.
That would be the best time of their lives with that flood.
Yeah. But actually, with the flood, that has been proven scientifically that historically did happen.
Oh, it did?
Yeah. Yeah, several thousand years ago. Because you got to remember that the Bible was all written around like the Holy Land in the Middle East, very dry, you know, area, very
a lot of deserts,
desertified, yeah. And I think it was like maybe 3 or 4, maybe 5,000 years ago, something like that, when the flood actually did happen. I think the separation between Gibraltar and the top of Africa happened, and that flooded. Like sort of created the Mediterranean Sea and the Black Sea and all that sort of thing, which wasn't even there before. If you look around the shorelines of Greece, you can find archaeological artifacts or villages that are underneath the ocean, underneath the sea.
Like so Atlantis.
Sort of like that, yeah. So the flood did happen. There is scientific proof of that happening. Now, one man getting word from God and telling him to build a boat and house every species.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's a story. And it promotes good values, you know, because I think, if I remember the story of Noah and the Ark, God was very disappointed in humanity's evil ways, debauchery, and all this sort of thing.
Yeah, he went from 0 to 100.
Yeah, he kind of did that, didn't he?
Mass genocide is the answer to cure all problems.
We just let this one family alive, and now everybody in the world apparently is related to Noah.
Oh, right, so we got incest there as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Lovely.
But no, the Old Testament of the Bible is, if I'm right on this, I think has been rewritten many, many, many times from different religions. And, you know, going back in history, when you go, you know, into Sumerian and Egypt and all that sort of thing, it's the same stories just being retold with different people and
Yeah. When we studied it in school, there's a lot of similarities between religions, and some of them, like you say, some of them actually believe the same thing, but with insert different name or insert different place. And a lot of the beliefs are still the same.
Yeah.
It's a weird one, isn't it? Religion, because there's very good values in it. Like the Ten Commandments.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think everyone should live by those, you know, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill. I can't remember the other eight.
Covet thy neighbour's wife.
Yeah. don't know the other seven.
No.
But we won't go through them. But it's all still good morals and beliefs that we should all live by.
And really, I guess religion back in those early days was kind of the way society policed itself.
Like the law of the land.
Yeah. Because, I mean, if you want people to behave themselves, tell them that there's a god up there that's going to be very angry if they do covet their neighbor's wife. And you'll go to hell.
Yeah.
I mean, when you get to the part of religion that is the afterlife, because, I mean, at the end of the day, that's kind of what most people are concerned about who are religious, isn't it? It's what's going to happen to me when I'm dead.
Yeah.
Am I going to go to a good place? Am I going to go to a bad place? Or do I just not believe in that afterlife at all? For, like, atheists and stuff, they just believe you're dead, everything goes black, and that's it.
Yeah, that's quite sad.
It is quite sad. And for my... I'm going to step up here now, right? But my personal story.
Yep. Go for it.
My mum died this year, a few months ago.
R.I.P.
Thank you. Lovely woman. She was very religious, very Christian. She had a nickname for me. I have to remember to tell this story in the right order. Because when I was a little boy, my real name, everybody, is Chris or Christopher. Everyone calls me Pirate these days. But when I was a little boy, I had trouble pronouncing the word Christopher. And it always came out as Kester. And so my mum adopted that as her sort of pet name for me. So every time I'll go around mum and dad's house, I'd be, "Hi, Kester, come and look what I'm doing in here." She had a bit of a Brummie accent as well. "But, hi, Kester, come and look at this. Hi, Kester, come and see what I've done here." And that sort of thing. And that's what... that's what my mum was to me, you know, just this lovely woman who always doing stuff and always wanting me to get involved and that sort of thing. And a few years ago, I ended up having to get my mum and dad to look after my dog for me. And my dog was called Doobie.
Doobie, yeah, lovely.
Doobie.
Matches the bandana, yeah.
And that dog, she latched onto my mum. And when my mum was diagnosed with cancer, the dog was just, she was like, became part of her right leg.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they were inseparable. They were like two fingers crossed together. They were just inseparable. And that dog, I mean, it was with her for probably a good 8 or 10 years. Because my mum had cancer for a long, long time before she actually died. The dog died first.
Okay.
And we buried her in the back garden. Mm-hmm. The dog, not my mum.
Oh, God. That took a dark turn. You caught me off guard there.
But, yeah, moving forwards. Now, when my mum was on her deathbed, I was there on that day, the day she died. We were taking it in turns to go in and be with her, talking to her. And one of the things that I said to my mum was, I said, "Hey, mum, I know that some people don't believe that animals go to heaven, like dogs don't go to heaven. But I do believe that they go to a better place."
They made a film about that. All dogs do go to heaven.
Okay.
I'm sure that's what it's called.
All dogs go to heaven. It was a cartoon. I remember it.
Yes.
I believe that dogs go to heaven because they're an innocent soul. Why wouldn't they go to a better place after this? So I said to my mum, while she was on her deathbed, I said, "When you get there, can you find Doobie and just say hello to her for me? Because I miss her, you know?" And she was mum's dog as much as mine. So, you know, if there is an afterlife and a better place, I was sure that mum was going to find her.
That's sweet.
And I didn't actually stay there until the moment my mum passed away that day. We'd been there all day, no food, no coffee, need my coffee. So me and my partner, we came home around about 4:30. And I was fairly distracted for the rest of the day, obviously, because I wanted to stay until the end. But we had to get back for something to eat, and Hayley hadn't eaten all day. So we got some dinner and we were just sat watching TV. Can't remember what was on, but all of a sudden I can remember the time, 7:35 in the evening. Out of nowhere, I heard my mum's voice, clear as bell, in my ears say, "Hey, Kester, I found Doobie. She's with me now."
Wow.
And that was it. That was all I heard. But it gave me a little start.
Mm.
You know, I didn't see her. She didn't appear as an apparition or anything like that. But I heard my mum's voice call me my pet name and tell me that she'd found my dog.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. And half an hour later, Dad rang me to tell me that Mum had died at 7:35.
Wow.
That day.
The exact time of the crossover.
The exact time, yeah. Literally seconds after she died, I heard a voice in my ears.
Oh, it gives me goosebumps, mate.
That is a true story.
Mm.
You know, so the afterlife, I believe it's there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to be so arrogant as to say it is definitely Christianity is right. Heaven is there. Hell is there. If you're mm-hmm. good, you're going to go to heaven. If you're bad, you're going to go to hell. I don't know. Personally, for me, I think it's probably the afterlife is going to be what you make of it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
If you're generally a nice person and have a positive outlook on life, I think your afterlife is going to be quite a positive thing.
Yeah.
You know, and if you're generally negative and, you know, a bit of a bastard, then your energy is going to have that still lingering. So, yeah. You know, and that possibly is like the cause of some of the evil sort of spirits and poltergeists and activity and that sort of thing. That's my take on it anyway.
Well, I think you're right. I think that's the key word is energy. Because I do believe, similar to you, where it's, I don't think it's just in the ground, that's it, you're done, there's nothing. I do think there is something.
The soul is your energy. I mean, your body produces electrical impulses all the time, particularly in your brain and that. Like, mm-hmm. And that energy has got to go somewhere.
Yeah. We all come from stardust.
So. We do. We do. And I think that energy gets dispersed and you could either, if you're completely content with your life, maybe your energy does just get dispersed and there is no sort of real afterlife. Maybe the atheists are correct in that sort of instance.
Yeah.
But I believe your energy, it knows that it's come from your body and it could sort of congeal, if you like, and remain in a certain place or attached to certain people or, you know, that sort of thing. So,
Yeah, because you always hear stories of when people pass away. I'm sure it was my mum said a similar story where when her mum, so my nan, R.I.P. Gladys, lovely woman. She was a nurse.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. to her. I didn't actually know her that much because she died when I was young. I knew my granddad more. But when she passed, my mum was in the States and she got a phone call and she felt an energy. She felt a presence and she said, I feel like my mum's here with me. So it goes back to the whole energy thing. She didn't see anything. She didn't necessarily hear anything, but she just could feel,
it,
like something was there with her. So like you say, it could be energy passing on to someone or being with someone.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting.
That is quite often the case in like hauntings as well, though, isn't it? That people will there's not necessarily any physical proof of the haunting when people just feel like they're being watched.
Yeah.
Or, you know, stuff like that. I think with my experience and with your mum's experience, it's a different thing. You're not being haunted, but that energy is still there.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, I think my mum just came to see me, tell me that she'd found my dog. We're all good. We're together. We're going to our happy place.
Yeah.
And that's what's happened. She's gone to her happy place and I'll never see or hear from her again. I very much doubt.
Yeah, well, you never know. You never know, mate, because
we don't
know what happens.
Well, we don't, but I think that just after death, the energy is probably still strong enough to make that connection. I think given time, it's not going to have the strength to do that, if you know what I mean. And
yeah,
it's been several months and I've not heard another anything more. Yeah. So.
But at least she's not in limbo. So she's probably in a better place.
Well, yeah. What is limbo?
I've always understood limbo as in between heaven and hell. Okay. If you believe in heaven and hell.
So limbo is sort of that lingering spirit for the hauntings and that sort of thing, then.
Yeah.
It's still part of an afterlife, I guess, but that, yeah.
Yeah, I've always understood limbo as spirits like that have been murdered, or they weren't done justice. And
gone before their time.
Yeah, and right. they're angry about it, and they're like, we can't go up to heaven. Like those films, I think I'm referencing Ghost again. You know, where they've got to do certain things so they can get into heaven and make the soul good again. And yeah, being stuck in limbo is kind of earth, but you can't see or hear them. They're just kind of stuck there. But then I've got an interesting theory with heaven and hell.
Oh, go
and
on.
I don't want people writing in saying I'm a butthole for saying it. But if the devil, Satan, is torturing bad people in hell, and God is taking in the people that are all good, surely Satan is somewhat good himself for torturing the people that were bad.
Well, yeah. I mean, Satan is an angel at the end of the day.
Yeah.
He was the fallen angel.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a long time since I did any Bible reading, to be honest. But if I remember right, the devil really doesn't show up that much in the Bible.
Oh, okay.
I think hell is mentioned possibly in the New Testament, you know, with the Jesus and that, like, and maybe Revelations with fire and brimstone and that. So, I mean, really, like, the devil, I mean, to be fair, like, because he's not mentioned so much in the Bible, and like his name of Satan in old English terms was actually just a word for a bad person or an evil person.
Mm-hmm. Not specifically like a guy who's red with a pitchfork.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah. Satan, it was originally an angel, and angels are all like halos and wings, you know.
Mm.
Wings. So there's no reason to suspect that Satan is, or the devil is, any different to that. You know, having horns or antlers and hooves and a tail. Yeah. You know,
that's right.
I think that's come about in more in recent years, rather than the true sort of religious background that we're looking into.
Mm. And well, I can't remember if I'd already mentioned it or the. If it cut out, the Morning Star.
Yeah, yeah. You like, did you mention that?
I can't remember.
We had a little accident where the camera stopped, so we had to pause for 10 minutes and we're catching up with ourselves.
I only knew that Satan, well, is Lucifer Morning Star, and I only found that out because Chloe was watching the show Lucifer, and then they said Mr. Morning Star, and I thought, that doesn't sound very threatening.
Well, originally, like I say, that it shouldn't be, because he was just a devil. He wronged God in some way, and God banished him from heaven. And yeah, I guess nowadays we think of him as being the overlord of the underworld.
Yeah, what a cool job.
Yeah, yeah, pretty good job description.
Do you wonder if in hell, if it is real, if there is a place, it's like The Simpsons where Homer had a problem with gluttony, so then the devil just keeps trying to feed him donuts, and then he just gets bigger and bigger, still enjoying the donuts. Do you reckon it's one of those things where whatever you did in life,
the punishment is ironic?
Yeah.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah.
Because that would be very interesting.
By the way, we are probably concentrating. We introduced this episode as religion as a whole, but I guess we're concentrating more on Christianity, because that's more, well, my background at least.
You're
not necessarily Christian, but I don't really have any information on like Hinduism or Muslim or Shinto or Buddhism or anything. I don't really know that much about it, but I think the values are the same.
Yeah,
the teachings and that. It's all about your moral compass, isn't it? Really.
Yeah, good and bad. What's evil?
But I mean. Right? The paranormality scale has to be addressed at some point as well. And I think that we've got to cover religious healers.
Oh, man. Religious healers.
I mean, what what's going on there? Is that actually paranormal? I give you the power of God and you will rise from the chair that you've been stuck in for 20 years. You know, all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Is that just a stooge?
Yeah, I like the ones that when you're sat at home and they touch the screen, they're like, touch the screen and I can hear your broken spine. How is he doing that from home? That doesn't make any sense. And then you see the people that they're in the pews and they slowly get up from their wheelchair and they're like, oh, by God, he's healed. And then they slap them in the face and they all start rejoicing. I think that's a load of rubbish, personally.
To be honest, magicians use stooges, don't they, create their effects. And I think there's...
Oh, I didn't even think about that. Plants in the queues. So you've got people actually there pretending to be healed.
Exactly, what I think it is. It's got to be.
Yeah, it has to be. There's another episode of The Simpsons where Bart becomes one of them. He starts healing people.
Oh, does he? I don't think I've seen that.
I think The Simpsons have covered everything.
Yeah, I think they probably have, yeah. We should just do a podcast on The Simpsons.
Yeah, sorry, I've mentioned that twice. Forget everything. But no, I think you're right with the morals of... Christianity and religion as a whole, I think it is a positive thing because a lot of people associate religion with being negative and bad. And I mean, it has caused problems for war.
Religion definitely has caused more wars than any other thing, oil, gold, anything. Religion is the one that's really put a pinnacle on that, isn't it?
And that's ironic because it teaches you to be good and accepting of others and no judgment and all these morals, and then it creates war, which is the worst thing that's happened to humanity. Yeah. So it's the best and the worst it brings out of humanity and people.
Yeah.
But I mean, me personally, I wouldn't say I'm atheist. I think it's agnostic. We've said this before. It's the Dr. Pepper religion where it's, you're not sure what it is.
You believe in something.
There's something out there. And I don't necessarily think it's a man with a beard who's living in the clouds. Because surely,
why not? That'd be brilliant.
I mean,
a man with a beard.
I mean, the man with the beard
is in control of everything.
That's not the problem of the story. I believe the man in the beard is just, how would you sit on a cloud? You'd be falling through.
I think that's a metaphorical cloud.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. Bit naive there, right?
Yeah, I would say, rather than like heaven being above us and hell being below us, I'd sort of like to go more into like Stranger Things. You know, it's another reality,
another dimension.
Yeah, another dimension. Like you can slip it, but you can only get there as an energy.
Well, that is another thing with religion, and that's the brings in the paranormality side of it, or the paranormal side of it. Is it just dimensions? Like, is it another world? Is it another planet? Does our energy go back into the solar system?
Yeah, I'd like to think so.
Mm.
I think that's a reasonable suggestion, to be honest.
Yeah, I like that idea as well. Like, what's the
when you think about everything else in nature? You know, you've got your nitrogen cycle, you've got your hydrogen, your water cycle, and all that sort of thing. Everything, where you get energy from when you die, you break down, you put that energy back into the earth, or, you know.
Yeah, of course, what's the formula? We're two parts oxygen, one part hydrogen. I can't think of what the equation is. But we are made of different...
H2O, water.
Yeah, something, you know what I mean. Yeah. There's some sort of mathematical equation that we all come from, and we're made up of these things.
Well, we're all essentially made up of stardust, as you said before.
Yeah.
When stars die, they create the matter that creates everything. So we are essentially intertwined with the universe in a way that we can't escape. You know?
Yeah.
Which I think is a beautiful thing, really.
It is. Reincarnation.
That is the fundamentals of religion, really. Reincarnation is another thing we haven't actually visited.
Mm-hmm.
But
it ties in where, I suppose, it's not really to do with religion, is it? It is.
I think it's the Hindu religion, I think, believe in reincarnation. I think they, when they die, they reincarnate and live. They have to live their lives until they've lived their best life.
Yeah.
And then they can move on to the next phase.
Because I was always told that with reincarnation, when people die and they see the light, that's actually you being reborn out of the snatch. It's the hospital lights.
You think?
I don't know. Maybe it was a cartoon. I'd like to think that was real.
To be honest, I think if I got to the very, very end of my life and I saw that light and it was like, right, walk into the light and suddenly... that's a bit quick. I want a resting period.
Yeah.
You know, I've just been alive for 70 years or whatever. I'm knackered by that. But give me a rest before I'm born again.
Yeah, let me start again, but give me a rest in between.
Yeah.
Oh, just a vicious cycle of 70 years, 70 years.
It'd be horrible.
It's like when they say...
Like Groundhog Day.
Yeah. And when they say vampires live forever, like, you'd want to reach a point where you're like, oh, just let me die.
Yeah, like, I don't think immortality... Like, they say that potentially the first immortal person could be alive today.
Yeah.
Just with the level of technology that we've got available to us these days. I wouldn't want to be that person.
Yeah.
I think that... I mean, even in my 40 years, like, the world has changed so much.
Mm.
And you do. As you get older, you struggle to keep up with those changes.
Yeah.
I have no idea half the capabilities that my iPhone has.
Yeah.
Because I'm still wish it was a Nokia 3310.
Oh, bring back, you know? Snake.
Yeah, exactly. And if your life actually started lasting for several hundred years, even a thousand years, by the time you get there, you're just not going to have a clue what's going on, are you?
Yeah, doesn't immortality also tie in with the Fountain of Youth? Isn't that to do with immortality? Or is that just staying younger or looking younger?
I think the Fountain of Youth is just a legend, isn't it? Making yourself young again.
Yeah.
I suppose it is all sort of tied in with immortality.
Yeah. And like we were talking about with Noah's Ark and the fables, if you will.
Yeah.
Another one that's just sprung to my mind is Adam and Eve. Now, what isn't the story that Eve came from Adam's rib? Is that the...
think so. Yeah.
And that to me, and again, it's another story that it's proved by science that can't be real. But
if God managed to create Adam with a click of his fingers out of nothing, or out of just a bit of stardust, why did he need to take a rib off him to create Eve? Surely he could just click his fingers again and...
He'd just keep clicking his fingers to make people.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then we wouldn't all come from incest, essentially.
Essentially, yeah. And also, I believe I've read or heard somewhere that a scientific theory is that, I think it's because when they're trying to populate, they want to send people to Mars and populate Mars, what is the minimum number of people that you'd need to populate, like, potentially Mars, and keep genetic diversity? And I think it's something like 97 people. Oh. Well, it'd have to be 98 people, wouldn't it? Because you'd need to one bloke in the corner, like, oh, I got him.
But, just one bloke in the corner.
But yeah, so like Adam and Eve, just two people creating an entire population, we'd all have webbed fingers and toes and stuff, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
You wouldn't get that genetic diversity. So God's got to have clicked his fingers a few more times and created a few more people, because we can't have all come from just two.
No, that's right. And just the thought of that is pretty weird, isn't it? I mean, two people, and then the snake tempted them out of the garden, so then they were banished. And so did they just... procreate and learn all that by themselves, and then God...
I guess so. They must have done.
The stories don't really add up.
No. But I think the stories are meant to be taken less literally and more like, you know, the moral values of them and stuff. You know, it was people were very much just making the stories up to guide humans down the right path.
Yeah. I think it's Ricky Gervais that had the famous quote on a talk show where if you were to take all of the textbooks of science and everything that's fact and burned all of those books and novels, everything, and burn all of the stories of religion, all the Bibles, in thousands of years' time, all of those science books would come back because we've discovered these things.
It's science. It's fact. Yeah, it's fact. Science. Yeah, yeah.
Whereas all of those stories in the Bible would die. They'd perish. You wouldn't hear about
it. But do you not think that humans in general would inherently recreate those stories? It might be different stories, but would still create stories to have those moral values to guide
you know,
your next generation.
I mean, you would, because I think humans are...
They need to believe in something.
Yeah, we're curious creatures, aren't we? And we just have an imagination and we make these stories. We snowball them and over the years they get bigger and bigger and they start from something small. Like when we go back to the Jesus feeding the 5,000, like I say, it could be something so small as just feeding 5 to 15 people, and then over the years, it's just snowballed.
Yeah, been blown up all out of proportion, I suppose, yeah.
Yeah, but I don't judge people that do believe in these things.
Because
it doesn't take away from who they are as a person. And
not at all.
They've probably got really good morals, and I honestly do believe people that go to church every Sunday, majority of them are really good people. Like they believe in neighborhoods and coming together and uniting, and every Sunday they meet up and they worship and they all help each other out, and there's a sense of community and a sense of, just because they all believe in a God, it doesn't make them bad people at all. I think the people that are atheists, and not all atheists, but a lot of atheists that point the finger and say, oh, I can't believe you believe in all of that, it's a load of rubbish. I actually think they're worse than the people that are religious, that keep themselves to themselves, and that's what they believe. Who are we to judge?
Yeah, exactly. That's well said, mate. Well said, right, to be honest.
I think atheism actually, if we want to go deeper, we can, but I think atheism actually can be worse for humanity than following some morals and
some good moral guidelines, which is what religion is all about in the end anyway, isn't it?
So. Yeah. So on a whole, I think religion is a good thing. Obviously get extremists from either end of the scale. You get people that take every word from the Bible as, you know, that is it, that I'm focusing all my energy on that, I believe in that. Fair play to them. But then you've also got the extremists that take one tiny little bit of scripture and they make it a mountain out of a molehill and they blow it up, and that's when you get extremists.
Like the ISIS extremists. It's a seesaw ride, isn't it?
Yeah, even with Christianity, you get it with people reading the Bible and reading one tiny snippet and saying, oh, we're against gays, gays is wrong, and things like that. But then you've got other people.
Gays have been around for thousands of years.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. What was it, the Spartans? Weren't they fighting for their lovers on the battlefield and things like that?
But anyway, I think we're at 36 minutes now. So we're going to have to...
That went quick.
We're going to have to put it to the paranormality scale, because that's our little thing, end of each video. We've got to do that. How paranormal would you say that religion is then in general?
If we're going off of the paranormal scale, as in how much is real and how much is story, I mean, the stories and stuff, it takes it down. But if I think about the other side of religion, where it's been thousands of years, they all have similarities, some of the stories are the same, I think it's up there. For me, it's up there. Like when we talk about the afterlife and different dimensions and stuff, because no one knows, there is that underlying element of there's got to be something. There can't just be nothing.
Well, from my personal experience, there's definitely something.
Yeah.
You know, I heard what I heard. Whether everybody wants to believe it or not, that happened to me, and I believe it.
Yeah.
And so for me, religion has got a paranormal factor to it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, yes, it was there. Early man needed it for policing the people, and it was just a set of good moral values and that. But I think stemming from it, when you look into like the afterlife and that sort of thing, there is a paranormal element there.
Yeah.
No matter which god you believe in, I think there is something there.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, personally, it's going to rate quick pretty high. And I'm thinking about putting about eight well, out of 10, yeah.
See, I was even thinking of nine.
Nine?
Yeah.
I'd be happy to go to nine.
Yeah, because I feel like religion is such a vast thing across the world.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like it's not one of those things you can divide, where it's like ghosts, like is it real or is it not? It's split 50-50. I think religion is so vast. It's everywhere. I think you have to take that into account. And for me, it's a nine.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. I'll go for a nine as well.
Yeah.
If you're going nine, I'll go nine. We'll average at nine.
Yeah, let's go nine.
We'll go nine.
Yep.
Awesome. Well, thanks for joining us this week. Let us know in the comments section, if there is a comment section. If you agree with us, if you think that we've missed anything out, please, we'll quite happily revisit this. We've ran way over time already.
Yeah, we should definitely come back to religion.
I think it's worth having a second crack at, yeah.
Yeah.
But until then, we're going to say goodbye for now. So thanks for joining us. Hope you come back next week. And for now, ta-ta.
Ta-ta.
When the energy is high and the music is right, pushing past your limits becomes that much easier. Take a reggaeton run or strength class on the Peloton tread, and you'll quickly see why these are the workouts you've been searching for. Every day brings new challenges from expert coaches who train and speak the same language as you do. Level up your workouts with Peloton Tread. Find your push, find your power. Peloton. Visit onepeloton.com.
Hey guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere, nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. They ship Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. So if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.